Now, you know, when you're creating an event like this, where you have, you're attempting to get the best of the best, sometimes you need to speak to people 1 year, 2 years in advance in order to have them schedule being able to come. Does that make sense to you? Especially the caliber of people that you're hearing here. And there's a gentleman that I really, really wanted to have on this program. One of the issues with this gentleman is that he's extremely busy. Extremely what?
Busy.
Probably the busiest trainer, speaker, author in the world. And he has a schedule that is just packed. So unfortunately, he was not able to make it. And at this time this year. But I wasn't going to be stopped. So he's still not able to make it, but as a wizard, as a what?
Wizard.
As a wizard, one of the wizard principles is what? I always find or create a way. Say it with me. I always find or create a way. And so I had another idea. And the idea was this. Since we want to get his information primarily, and since we could reach him in other parts of the world in other ways, I said, why don't we just phone him? And he can do a teleclass with us, live here, all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, who on earth would be that important that I would go to that extreme to have him in this way at our program? Number one, he's a good friend of mine. Number two, he is one of my greatest teachers and greatest mentors. And number three, he is and has been for the last 3 years the number one financial author in the world, Mr. Robert Kiyosaki! Let's go! Well, I know that Robert works with a lot of companies, including Amway, so we had to take care of them right there, huh? Beat them out. Robert, can you hear us?
Oh, man, I'm jealous. You guys sound great.
Excellent. So let's hear. Start with a couple of things here. First of all, you just got a welcome from 1,000 people, 1,000 of the greatest people on the planet. Right, how many of you guys have read Robert's initial book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Wow, I'd say, Robert, about 70%. 70% of people here have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. How many of you read some of the other books so far? Cashflow Club? Whoa. At least 50%. And how many of you were at Millionaire School where you actually played the cash flow game? At least another 50 or 60%. Robert?
I'm speechless because I am jealous. I wish I was there.
Awesome, yes. Yes, so do we. So you know what? What I'd like to do is, because you have so many books at this point that are out and national bestsellers, international bestsellers, why don't you give us just a little bit of your background and how you got started in the whole arena? And then we can maybe go through some of your books and some of the key principles that you teach from those books for everybody.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate all of you for being there. And Carv and I have been friends for nearly 20 years. And I've watched its development and very proud of it. So it's been fabulous. But you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, for those who haven't read the book, is the true story about my two dads. My real dad was the head of education for the state of Hawaii. Very, very good man, smart man, hardworking guy. But I call him my poor dad very simply because no matter how much money he made, he was broke at the end of every month. He ultimately died broke. My rich dad was my best friend's father. And although a man started with nothing, he ultimately became the richest man in the state of Hawaii. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it's a very simple story of two fathers tell their sons, my best friend and I, about money. And you know, that's where the story began. It started teaching me at the age of 9. And one of the reasons I think Dad Poor Dad has done so well is very simply because it took a complex subject such as money and made it as simple as possible for a 9-year-old child to understand. And currently it's in 38 different languages, number one in Japan, China, Europe, South Africa, and South America. So I've made a lot of money on the book. If I had known earlier, I would have written earlier. So that's kind of how I got started. But I think the real nexus or the point of the book actually starts for me back in 1973 when I came back from the Vietnam War, where I was a pilot for the Marine Corps and quite disillusioned with war in general. And, you know, I got spit at by many people coming back, called a baby killer, and I was 4 years of an academy graduate. And I went there out of the highest of principles. I had a lot of friends not come back from the war, and to find American people and generally the war, the world against the war, was quite disheartening. And then coming back from the war, I found my poor dad, my school teacher dad. He was also a man of principle. And being a man of principle, he ran against his boss, governor of Hawaii, to become lieutenant governor of Hawaii. He ran as a Republican. And just this, it was only this year alone in Hawaii, for the very first time, a Republican has won in over 40 years. And people who may or may not know, Hawaii is one of the most corrupt governments in the 50 states. Forbes magazine calls it the People's Republic of Hawaii. Politicians are regularly sent to jail. You know, it's quite a place. So my dad, being a man of principle, he said, I can no longer put up with this corruption, and he ran for governor and was crushed. So when I come back from the war, also disheartened, being of principle, I see my old man flat broke, can't get a job because all he knew was to be a government employee. And when I went to my dad, my real dad, for advice, he said, you know, I'm back from the war, what should I do? And he says, you know, go back to school, get a higher degree, and then get a job with the government. And I said, you know, Dad, that's what you did. He says, yes, but that's all you can do these days, you know, get a job with the government. And I realized he's basically talking to himself. And the reason he was not successful was he was a man who could not change his ideas or his thoughts. And so with that, having the benefit of having a rich dad, I went to see my rich dad, and I said, what should I do next? And he says, well, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be rich, the chances of you becoming rich and becoming financially free as an employee are slim to none. So he says, you better make a decision early in your life to seek freedom or seek security, because security and freedom are not the same words. And unfortunately today, most people have been brainwashed into thinking security is freedom. But security is not freedom. You know, my rich dad said the people with the most security are in what's called maximum security, in jail, but they have the least freedom. So, you know, I'm honored that you, Harv has asked me to speak to you, and I'm honored to be in front of you today, or talking to you today, because I think what Harv is talking about is really freedom versus security. And I think early in your life, you have to make a decision whether or not you're gonna go for security, or you're gonna go for freedom, but they're not the same thing. And in fact, almost exactly the opposite. The more security you have, many times the less freedom you have. Mm-hmm. So back in 1974 is really when I made my decision to not seek job security, but to seek freedom. And the same is true today. It may sound unpatriotic, but, you know, I'm ready to, you know, I love Canada. I have companies in Canada. I have companies in China. And after being what's called a hardcore true patriot to America, a U.S. Marine pilot officer, I decided I'd become a global investor rather than a patriot, and that's what I do today.
Great. So the first book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Lead us through just either, just one or two. What's the main message that you would like to get people versed in from that book, Robert?
Well, let me share some very personal insights behind that book. First of all, the book was written simply so as many people could understand the six basic rules or six basic lessons my rich dad taught me. That one, never work for money, work for free. And it's one of the hardest lessons I think people have to learn is that if you work for free, you have a better chance of getting rich. You work for money, you're basically a slave to money. But, you know, and the book is about a book called Financial Literacy, but my rich dad really taught me using a lot of times that I'm not a religious person. I'm not here to save your soul. I'm not here to tell you to go to church. So don't worry about that. My rich dad oftentimes used biblical stories to teach me what he knew. And what he said was that, you know, 3,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written, he said that the challenges faced by people then are the same challenges faced by people today. So he only read the book, and he went to church and all that stuff, but he used them as stories to teach me life's lessons today, you know, and related back to yesterday. So he said that one of the most important lessons he learned was that the word becomes flesh. I think it was in Matthew, one of those, you know, chapters or something, well, verses. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about your word. It's about the power of the spoken word. And what Harv was saying, you know, he said, you'll find a way, a wizard will find a way. There's two things that losers do. Two things that losers do is they say they can't do it or they can't afford it. That's your word. And if you say you can't do it or you can't afford it, that is who you become. My rich dad said it's poor people who say, I can't afford it, more than rich people can. And it is the loser who says, I can't do it. You know, it's just too hard for me, and I can't do that. So your words do become flesh. And so when you look at what Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about, it's about your word. The second kind of person that loses, is not successful, is the know-it-all. And that's a person who says, yeah, I know that. Like, for example, for myself, you know, I know how to lose weight. I just can't do it. You know, I know, if you exercise more and eat less, you'll be healthier. So there's a lot of people out there, and the same is true with wealth, there's a lot of people out there who are false prophets. There are people who tell you what to do, but they can't do it themselves. Unfortunately, our school system is filled with false prophets. People who can tell you how to run their lives, but they can't even get outside the school of the world of academia. And too many people have taken financial advice and life's advice from people who are false prophets, people who talk but don't actually do what they say. And so what Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about is accountability. When I say to you, I build companies and I invest in real estate, I do. I wouldn't tell you to do anything I do not do. Yet there's many authors out there who are giving you financial advice on things that absolutely do not work. But they'll give you that advice to make money on it. That's, in my experience, unethical or lack of integrity. Integrity means being whole. But you better say what you do. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about the word. Another thing the book is about here is the power of your vocabulary. Most people don't know the difference between assets and liabilities. Most people have been taught their house is an asset. So my rich dad was telling me, he says, if you want to get rich, all it takes is in changing your vocabulary. Unfortunately, most of us leave school, and we leave school with the vocabulary of a school teacher. Like, I know what a gerund is. I know what a noun is. I can read poetry. But I learned nothing about financial vocabulary. So if you want to get rich, getting rich is free. All you have to do is improve your vocabulary. And it starts simply by knowing the difference between assets, liabilities, you know, discounted cash flow, internal rates of return, what's cash on cash, you know, internal, and all those things. So if you want to become rich, it goes back to the biblical principle of the word becomes flesh. You are what you say, and you are your words. And also, you got to be careful who you take advice from. So that's what Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about, is how do you read a financial statement? It's really only a book on accounting. That's all it is. And with a scandal with Arthur Andersen, WorldCom, Enron, and all these other companies, and the list has not stopped. Merrill Lynch is in very big trouble. Solomon Barney are in very big trouble because they didn't keep their word to the people. They had analysts actually telling people to buy when, in fact, they were selling. And that's unethical, and it's out of integrity there. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is very simply a book on accounting, but more being accountable. and it starts with you being accountable to you.
Robert,
what
about
the book's about?
Yeah. So what about the next book was Cash Flow, wasn't it?
Cash Flow Quadrant.
Yeah, that was a great book. And what was the main message on that one?
The main message on that one is just four kinds of people in the business world. E stands for employees. S stands for self-employed or small business owner. And B stands for big business owner like Bill Gates. And I stands for investor. And the book was written for people ready to make changes in their lives. And most people, when you say, you know, go to school and get a job, you're being programmed to become an employee. Or a person who says, you know, if you want it done right, do it by yourself. They become S or self-employed. A lot of times self-employed is somebody who really couldn't get a job anyway. Nobody would hire them because they want to do it their way. And then a B stands for big business. And big business is defined as 500 employees or more. The other demarcation is this, is can you leave your company, your work, and have the company do better without you? That's the difference between a small business owner and a big business owner. And the investor's attitude is simply they live off of the returns on their investment. So the four different people, four different emotional contexts, and four different set skills. In other words, it's a different kind of skill to become a business owner than a small business owner. And it takes different kinds of technical skills to be an investor versus becoming an employee. So I wrote the book, The Quadrant, for those who are making the change, you know, people who are sick and tired of their job and want to start going to become business owners or investors. The change is more than saying I'm going to make a change. The change is more than simply saying positive thinking. You know, there's work you have to do. It's a whole other educational path. So that's what the book's about.